Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
And then, of course, we will get Zach Darlington ready to play, have packages ready for him, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Riles. Welcome to it, a Tuesday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Hope you're doing all right. Hope you're gearing up for amazing family time on Thursday, and then the big one on Friday, Nebraska and Iowa. Quarterback merry-go-round. Day two continues. We'll spend some time and get into what Coach Riley had to say on the Big Ten conference call. That coming up. Loaded show for you. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, going to be with us in 15 minutes. Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports. Suits, he'll chime in on some high school football championship items, as well as Nebraska, Iowa. Rick Pizzo, as soon as he is done with BTN Live, he'll join us. We'll talk college football playoff committee tonight and the Big Ten weekend. And then Gary Barnett. We would totally take an interview with Coach Barnett on Thursday, but we'll all be sleeping after copious amounts of turkey. So Barney with us today, as he'll join us at 5:25, get his thoughts on Nebraska, Iowa. Get his take on just what the hell you do at quarterback if you're Nebraska. And we'll dive into some things to look for Friday. About said Saturday, I need someone to come take my router and any wireless device we have in the Schmidt household. The wife is off. The wife is pretending Tuesday is Black Friday. She started shopping online at 9:30. I'm frightened. I am frightened to figure out what was purchased, what we, I'm air quoting, need, at 25% off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm freaked out when I go home. Oh, yeah. It's a deal. That's what's going on. Left home. I did tick her off this morning because she was on the treadmill and I filmed it. It was awesome. She wasn't happy about that. So just to pay me back for invading her privacy, she is no doubt on a spending spree. It's a good thing we don't share a checkbook. Okay, numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Don't forget your chance this hour, and I promise next hour, to give away a six-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Jake Jensen has been reaching out to kids that have been getting offers from Nebraska. Jake Jensen's all over it. With recruiting, as is Aaron Sorensen. You'll get a six-month premium online subscription later this hour and next hour if you're caller six. And we'll get you great access to just an amazing community. If you're a Nebraska fan, a great community with Hail Varsity. Premium content, in-depth analysis, and info you want, plus breaking news. So that will be there for you. You have the numbers to get in. We're on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. Well, we kind of touched on rivalry week. We touched on the quarterback situation. And let's just get into it, all right? Let's just get into quarterback play. If we're thinking Thanksgiving and we're thinking entrees, turkey is the centerpiece. Turkey must be awesome. Then you have the other associates on that great day. Mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, cranberry, stuffing, rolls, smashed potato, sweet potato. You have all the fixins. Do you count the quarterback as the turkey? That's the question I have. no matter who is at quarterback, this game Friday is going to come down to offensive line play and turnovers, period. You can combo it, offensive and defensive line play. That's what it's going to be about. You'll need to make some plays in the passing game. Iowa will need to do that. Nebraska will need to do that at quarterback. And the thing that's been so special about Armstrong, I mean, he's 1-1 against Iowa. When he won, he was down 17, and he had a 17-point fourth quarter for the win. It's great. It was incredible. It was overtime. It's Kenny Bell. And what made that play work? It's Tommy rolling out, extending the play, wide out, Kenny Bell being on the same page, finding the pylon, touchdown. Nebraska wins. Thanks for coming, Bo. Okay? Last year, that same quality that extended the comeback and the win also set on fire anything you wanted to do about sustaining a drive because of the four interceptions. Okay? So if he plays, what are you going to get? I know we've asked that his entire career, and I'm sorry to bring it up again. If you get Tommy Armstrong, you'll get a 50% Tommy Armstrong, 75% Tommy Armstrong. Nobody at this point in their life as a college football player, as a quarterback, is 100% last regular season game of the year. So what are you getting? That's what you need to ask yourself. At quarterback, do you want a healthy quarterback that can just execute and manage, or do you need a playmaker at quarterback on Friday? And to beat Iowa, you need a manager. You need a mobile manager. Tell you beat Iowa. Guy that doesn't screw it up, can make a couple of plays if he has to, but ultimately it's going to be your defense either getting recoveries or forcing turnovers, getting takeaways, and you running the football. That's how it's happened. Let's go through the brief Nebraska-Iowa Black Friday extravaganza. 2011, Nebraska won 20-7. Iowa minus 2 in turnovers. 2012, both teams even in turnovers. Nebraska 13-7. Nebraska fumbled twice. Nate Geary had at least one interception, maybe two if memory serves, in 2012. 2013, Tommy didn't play that game. It was the Ron Kellogg Show. Three turnovers for Nebraska, none for Iowa. Iowa wins 38-17 in your pad. 2014, Iowa, three fumbles, one interception. Nebraska, 37, Iowa, 34, overtime. Last year, four interceptions, a plus four turnover number for a 28-20 victory for Iowa. There's your math on this. Turnovers and running game. And while Iowa didn't yardage much on Nebraska, they had those two big stretch runs. Third quarter, good night. And then you have the turnovers. So this whole blab session comes back to quarterbacks. Per Mike Riley, how do you handle it? What's going on? Riley said today that Tommy Armstrong, who missed all of last week, with that hamstring issue, he was able to practice Monday, and he'll practice tonight. Practice will get done around 5:50 tonight. We'll let you know if we're still on air. Meaning, if they get the word out in time. Mm-hmm. Somebody could come shut the lights off, too.
Somebody could cut the cord or something.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of internet shopping, right? Now, he's not 100%, obviously. But Riley said he's definitely taking a big step in the right direction. That is good. Quoting Riley, Tommy was actually able to practice. I would not say it was full speed for him, but it was encouraging. That's awesome. No Riker last night. They'll see about Riker today. Broken wrist, pin in it. Good luck and God bless for Friday. All right? You can eat all the painkillers you want. You can take an elephant needle in the wrist. At least it's not the throwing hand. Zach Darlington, let's talk about action, Zach.
Yeah.
Huh? Splitting first team reps. Let's explore young Zach Darlington. We watched his film. We talked to him. God, that was 100 years ago. On the day he committed to Nebraska. It was a Saturday morning extravaganza with myself and Kranak. Zach came on the radio. Good dude. Happy to be here. And then as I'm just crushing chicken wings one week before regular season time on a Sunday, Zach Darlington's being airlifted, which, God, man, that was just brutal. And now he's persevered through all of it. He's been a team-first dude, three-star dual-threat guy that shifts to wideout, that shifts to holder. This could be his chance. And his spring game encouraged me a little bit, sticking with the Riley theme, encouraging. His spring game was all good. The way he can move, the way he can roll. I know he's not got the longest and strongest arm, but I think you could pick and pop this Iowa defense a little bit, as good as their linebackers are. Tight end them and running back flat them to death.
Yeah, and I'd like to see some wildcat packages with him.
With Darlington?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he could do that.
I think he could, too. I just don't envision him as...
You just get worried with his concussion history, running him that much?
That's straight up my... Yes, that is absolutely...
And I think that's fair.
In the back of my mind, that's the one fear I have. I know he's cleared, he's okay, but there is a short, short leash on that. I mean, the guy had to relearn how to talk. He did. So I am fearful for him with that respect that they ask him to run it. But you can't limit yourself either.
Yeah, but he's also a wide receiver, and he might go across the middle sometime if he keeps improving. So it's just he's playing football. So
he's playing football. He's going to give it a go, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So with Darlington, there are things they can do, but ultimately the passing game Friday will be to complement what you can do offensively running the football. It's going to come down to Nebraska's defense. I mean, what's Wadley going to do? What's LaShawn Daniels going to do? I mean, they've combined for 1,700 yards. And the one team that nobody in this life has been able to run against up until that Saturday night was Michigan. And what happened? Wadley went for 160. There may have been four completions and a total of 80 yards. I'm being generous. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But you want to talk about the mother of all one-dimensional wins against number two in the country? Iowa had it, and it was because of Iowa's defense they had it. So there are some matchups that are going to be just absolutely crucial. Jaleel Johnson has been insanely talented, that defensive tackle Iowa has, against Wisconsin, against Michigan. Without Johnson's play to get that safety, that 10-0 maybe becomes 13-0, and it's a 17-0, 17-3, workmanlike survival game by Michigan. Without Johnson's play, who knows? And he stymied and stopped the run game impressively. He got after the quarterback impressively. So what can Nebraska do? Foster will be called upon. Utter will be called upon on that left side of the line. You know what Josie Jewell's all about, really talented, good tackler. So you got to worry about him. And then you have Desmond King. Each level of the defense, Iowa is sound, Iowa is talented. But you look at their statistics, and Iowa doesn't blow you away. Okay, rushing offense, just shy of 80. Passing offense, 113. Scoring offense, 87th. Scoring defense, 15th. There you go. You'll once in a while have a party between the 20s, but you're kicking a field goal. Kickoff returns 11th in the country. So when they do score, they get a good return by King. Sacks allowed 92nd in the country. Third down offense, 113th in the country. Beathard's not healthy. Belthy had sports hernia. That sports hernia has jacked how he feels and how accurate he has been all year. So they've been pretty one-dimensional. They're a far cry from what they've been. It's going to be about the Nebraska defense stopping Iowa in the run game and it's going to be about the Nebraska offensive line taking over, getting Newbie 4.5 a carry for a victory, if it happens. Quarterback play will be about management, sprinkling in a play or two to be made versus winning the game or being the reason you win. It won't be quarterback play. You got to be safe. You got to be cautious, because if you're not, it's a double team. You beat you, and Iowa beats you.
And how about this unit, who's kind of been mostly up and down all year, mostly maybe down a little bit, the special teams? How about DBE finally takes one to the house on a punt return?
Well, and that's the thing.
How about Trey Bryant, like Amir Abdullah, his freshman year, takes one to the house off a kickoff?
No, that'd be good.
Create some points with your offense.
You're not
talking
about it because you can't count on it. It's been missing. It's been absent. It's been a hindrance, to be frank with you, special teams. The one game they had to be good, they were really, really good when it comes to punting, and then the punt return game against Oregon. That's the one game this year that phase helped win a big game. Otherwise, they've survived with that third phase being pretty average. And average is being kind. Maybe it shows up. Pack your defense, pack your run game. Ask if special teams wants to come along on the road trip. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, hope you're well. It's a Tuesday. Mitch Sherman on the way with Hail Varsity Radio.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to be with you. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzz. While driving, remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. 1 hour from now, Gary Barnett, Rick Pizzo, also next hour. Welcome in with ESPN, Mitch Sherman, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how we doing?
Doing well, Chris. How are you?
Doing awesome. Excited for Thanksgiving this week. Anxious to see what happens Friday with Nebraska and Iowa. And you spent a lot of time around Iowa a year ago. You've seen some Nebraska this year. The quarterback question marks are plenty, as there's three that could play. I'm leaning that Tommy will get the nod. A 50 to 75% Tommy is something that you look at. And with Riker and his wrist, we'll see how fast someone can heal. And then there's the Darlington factor. Mitch, can Nebraska win a football game on the road against a good defense if the quarterback run game element of the offense is minimal?
Yeah, I think so. I think it has to be existent. I don't think if Tommy Armstrong is going to play, then he's going to try to run the ball some. And I think that the worry about him risking re-injury is minimized this week because there's no game next week. You don't have another game for a month, presumably. Well, there could be a game next week if
there's
Minnesota
some help
takes care of its business. But I'm expecting Wisconsin to win on Saturday at home against Minnesota. So, and I think if you're Nebraska, you go into it thinking about, like, this is a one game season. And if Armstrong emerges healthy and you win, and then the Gophers come to your aid on Saturday, great. You go to Indianapolis and you play with what you got. But I don't think you're thinking ahead to the Big Ten championship game one bit this week in Iowa City, whereas a week ago you were. You knew you had this Iowa game. You knew Iowa was a better opponent than what Maryland was. And another 6 days of rest for Tommy, even without this injury to Fife, I think was very important in the big picture. So I'm with you. I think the likelihood that he plays is up around 70-80%, and that's without seeing him at practice and knowing the specifics of the situation. I just think his history tells me that he's going to go out there and give it a go. And if he gets into this thing and it's not working, he doesn't feel like he can move, he's getting knocked around, he doesn't have the ability to escape the pass rush, and I think you start to look at another option. But it's a real positive, in my opinion, that he was at practice on Monday. And to me, that really ups the percentage, the chances that he is expecting and Nebraska is expecting him to be out there at Kinnick Stadium on Friday.
Mitch, what's gone wrong for Iowa? And I can go down the losses, obviously, but in your viewpoint, what's been the difference from last year to this year? I mean, last year was magic. This year's been humbling.
Yeah, I think Iowa lost its mojo early when the North Dakota State thing happened. The game should have never been on the schedule. It's just silly to schedule those guys, and it's not like the Bison got good overnight. Right. Iowa could have done something about that, yet they said we're going to play this game, and it was a bad idea. And I think it ruined a portion of their season. I think after that, Iowa's confidence was down, and it really didn't come back until the Michigan game. And it took that night game environment at Kinnick Stadium when no one expected Iowa to win. You know, I thought coming into this year, because of the senior leadership that Iowa had, and not just the seniors, but Josie Jewell was a guy in the middle of that defense who's a junior and was an underclassman captain for Iowa, which just never happens in Kirk Ferentz's program. You've got C.J. Beathard and Desmond King to lead that team. I thought Iowa this year would be finally a team that was immune to that tendency to fail to live up to the expectations when they're high. And that has just been the absolute signature of Kirk Ferentz's program. They rise up when you don't expect it, like a year ago, and have a great season. And when people expect things from this team, they falter. And we've seen it again this year. So they proved me wrong in that aspect. And then, lo and behold, when Iowa gets to a night game against Michigan and no one expects anything from that team, they go out and play far and away their best game of the year and beat the number two ranked Wolverine. So that's Iowa. I think there's more expected of this Iowa team now after that game and after a win over Illinois last week. So who knows which team we're going to get. I think in a one-game situation, it's not as easy to predict. Iowa may play very well, or the weight of the expectations could be, again, a problem for this team on senior day in Iowa City.
Well, there, you don't have an answer for my next question. What Iowa do you get? What Nebraska do you get? Do you get a team that, and again, the X factor, the wild card's quarterback, but I'm kind of the opinion that while Tommy has been, in his career against Iowa, his playmaking, his extension of plays, his fourth quarter, frankly, not the three, but the fourth quarter, 2 years ago, led to that 17-point comeback in the overtime win, but the gunslinger mentality also did in Nebraska, where Nebraska beat Nebraska and Iowa beat Nebraska last year. I think against Iowa, you need a guy that can make a couple of plays, but for the most part, be a manager. That is, if you can get enough push on the offensive line. Do you think if it's two quarterbacks, because, say, Tommy starts and he gets dinged up, you bring in Darlington, can Nebraska, from what you've seen, be able to be successful on the ground against Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, Michigan had a lot of
trouble. That's what's weird, right?
Iowa. Yeah, I mean, Iowa at times this year has been open and susceptible, its defense has, to a good running game. It wasn't that way the last time out, and then the Hawkeyes pitched a shutout a week ago against a terrible team in Illinois. So this defense has come around, and the defense at Iowa had a lot of potential and looked like it would be a good defense, I think, from the beginning of the year. It just didn't always play like it. So I would have to expect that you're going to get the good Iowa defense. And you with Nebraska, there's the wild card is the quarterback and the offensive side. I think you know at this point of the year what to expect from the Nebraska defense. It's going to be a good performance from the Nebraska defense. These guys and against Iowa too, they match up well. C.J. Beathard is a tough out. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. I don't think Nebraska is going to get a bunch of turnovers on the defensive side, but I like how Nebraska matches up at most positions with Iowa. The black shirts do so. You don't have the weather factor. It seems that we did a year ago, which was just totally a non-offensive day in Lincoln. And whatever Armstrong could have brought to the table, being that kind of gunslinger, it wasn't going to work. It just wasn't going to play well in that the remnants of that ice storm. So if it's 45, 50 degrees and just a nice late November day, I think that can benefit Nebraska a little bit in a defensive game, because I think the Huskers have got a little bit more to offer on the offensive side, again, if Tommy is healthy and able to move around a little bit.
Mitch, you've been covering the Big 12 a lot this year. The Texas mess with Charlie Strong. Sounds like he's going to survive for this week. But even if he wins next week, does this likely seem like he's gone?
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone right now. Nothing has been announced. And the game's Friday. So, I mean, there is no next week. It's three, four days away.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think he survives the weekend. I don't know if he survives Friday night. The only discussion point here is what's Texas doing and why is its administration allowing him to flail in the wind like this? It looks bad for Texas. I think if you're a candidate, if you're Tom Herman and you're seeing this, you have second thoughts. You question why Texas is handling this thing this way, why Texas habitually handles coaching searches or the departure of coaches in such a poor manner. There's nothing good that has come out of what's transpired in Austin the last 48 to 72 hours, starting with the loss to Kansas and right on through to Sunday, which is in some ways almost a bigger embarrassment that Texas has had Charlie Strong, the guy who is not going to be in place in 4 or 5 days, serve as the voice, the only voice of reason, the spokesperson for this university, this football program. To me, it shows a vacuum of leadership from the president all the way down to the athletic director. I think it has ramifications that extend into the coaching search.
Mitch, about 2 minutes here. It's rivalry week. What game are you looking most forward to? Is it Ohio State, Michigan? Is it the Apple Cup, Florida, Florida State, Nebraska, Iowa? What game are you kind of circling that you want to check out?
How about the Iron Bowl? I think Alabama's most difficult test for the rest of the year, and I'm talking about from now until the middle of January, might be this weekend in its home state. Alabama's going to the college football playoff if it wins one of these next two games, and I don't think it'll have as much trouble with Florida as it does with Auburn this weekend. Auburn at times this year has been a great team, and at other times has looked puzzlingly mediocre. I think we know we're going to get the good Auburn team this week. That's just the way it works against Alabama. So it's the knock the king off of its throne. If it's going to happen, I think at any point this year, you may see it on Saturday, and then still see Alabama in the college football playoff as the SEC champ after it beats Florida by 28 points a week later. So I'm looking forward to that one. Of course, I'm looking forward to Michigan, Ohio State. A little bit disappointing that Michigan doesn't have Wilton Spate. I think that takes some of the shine off of this game. John O'Korn, Michigan's backup, was anything but prolific as a passer last week. So Michigan's going to have to find a way to be able to throw the ball. Like, it's not going to be able to run the ball and run the ball only and beat that Ohio State team in the horseshoe. So I think I'd be looking forward to that one more if it was a full-strength Michigan team, but it's not. To me, those are the two that stand out on the week 13 schedule.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, we'll catch up next week. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, bud. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Great, thanks. Same to you guys.
Take care. Mitch Sherman with us on Hail Varsity. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. And we needed like 5 more minutes with Mitch. But we're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
My fault on that. But, yeah. Good stuff from him. We'll see if it gets a little funky with the College Football Selection Committee, but I don't anticipate much. Does Michigan and Ohio State get penalized for playing like they're looking ahead to each other? Does Washington move up? Where's Colorado at? Good to get caught up with him. On the way, Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports, Gary Barnett coming up. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, still to come. It's a Hail Varsity Tuesday presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, we are efforting Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports. We'll see if he gets into reception area. I assume he's at Memorial Stadium. It's Bishop, Newman, O'Neill. Talented squads, flag on the play. But Class A last night. The favorite of all favorites got rocked by Bellevue West. Hadn't seen Bellevue West this year. But I saw North against Lincoln East, and the over-under for penalties was on North was 48, and they successfully hit that based on what I saw them do against East, and that's 13 for a buck 25. Welcome in, Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports, at Kevin Suits on Twitter. Suitsy, are you keeping warm, or are you in a warm spot right now?
I'm in a warm spot for the moment. That could change any time as we're running all over the place with all the sports fun we're having here in Lincoln today.
Yes, you are. So tell me about your marathon. Where did you start the adventure?
Well, the adventure actually starts in the Suits household very early in the morning trying to get ready for school. So we can't leave that out of the equation because sometimes I come to work and I'm got droopy eyes already and I need a burst of energy. So the coffee is flowing 2 o'clock. It tastes really good.
Yes.
But no, I've been at Memorial Stadium most of the day, up and down on the field, trying to take shelter a little bit in the press box and keep dry, keep warm, and just popped over to Husker football practice a few moments ago, and now back to see the finish of this really exciting Class C1 championship game.
Yeah, we've got it on here in the studio. We have a working TV now. I'll send you a picture of it. It's pretty awesome. let's talk some football here first, specifically Nebraska and Iowa. I'm going to ask you to be Dr. Suits right now. Who plays quarterback on Friday for Nebraska?
I think it's Tommy Armstrong Jr. I really do. I think that they not playing him last week probably really factors into this week's decision. He's practiced. This is his second straight day of being out there. I know he was limited a little bit yesterday, but still, that's a positive sign. If he can continue to take it a little bit easy this week, hamstrings are funny. You don't know what the recovery time is going to be, and each one is different. But I think to start the game, if Tommy comes out of the week okay and they don't put too much on him, which I don't think that they will, I expect to see number 4 under center when the game starts on Friday.
Kevin Suits, a couple minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He's running all over, getting you covered with Nebraska football. And, of course, the high school championships. Okay, so Tommy under center, that's a good thing. Offensive line-wise, that's been good. I mean, Nebraska's kind of building towards a line that is really playing well towards the end of the season. Thank you, Mr. Foster. What's your takeaway with Iowa after looking at him for a little bit? Are you impressed by him? Are you, it's Iowa. I mean, where do you come down there on the Iowa meter?
Overall, my assessment of Iowa is, If you look at the whole body of work, I'm not going to get too caught up in what's happened over the past couple of weeks because, teams like Iowa, the ones that hover around the 500 line in the Big Ten, typically you're going to have one big win. Granted, theirs was enormous. But you have to almost throw away your best game and throw away your worst game. And when you do that and you look right in the middle of it, Iowa's an above-average team. Put them just a little bit above average. I put Nebraska a little bit higher than Iowa in my assessment. Doing the same thing. Take out the big one, take out the bad one. And I think that they line up pretty closely, favor Nebraska. The one thing I do like about Iowa, and having watched them throughout the year, they're pretty good at stopping the run. And it's a not too flashy defense. It's a lunch pail. This is Iowa under Kirk Ferentz. That's kind of what they do defensively is, they fill the gaps very well. They fly to the football, and they're pretty good up front. So I think it helps Nebraska that they have the help along the offensive line that they do right now. If this was the O-line of about 4 weeks ago, there would be a much higher level of concern for Nebraska fans in terms of how this thing's going to play in the trenches.
Kevin, did you see that performance from Riker 5 coming this past Saturday?
Guys, how about you cue up the audio from last week at about this time? I said if there was one thing that I would want out of this game, the Maryland game, I wanted Riker 5 to start under center. I wanted him to have a fantastic game, and he did. And I am just so happy for a local kid that has just worked behind the scenes. He's gained the respect of all of his teammates. And then when he had his moment, a bigger moment than Purdue a year ago, because this was at home, this was when Nebraska was in a Big Ten championship hunt,
he delivered. He played very well. It didn't surprise me. And I think part of the assessment for me in looking at Riker is the fact that I've been able to watch Riker play for more than just a couple of games. Having seen him in high school, knowing what his skill set was, I didn't think it would translate over that well, but he played so well. A smidgen shot, but not overwhelmingly. I am so happy for Riker Fife and his senior day performance.
So, now let's go to Zach Darlington, and you cover the team, and you've gotten to see Zach and follow him and his story, obviously. And if Zach has to go, how confident are you? I mean, there's some things he can do, and I'm thinking back to some spring games that he's looked okay in.
I agree with that, and I'm going to say this about Zach Darlington. If he has to play at quarterback, you have to trust that Danny Langsdorf is not going to put him in bad situations. And the thing that Zach Darlington has going for him is the fact that he's a coach's kid. He gets football. I think he understands the value of hanging on to the football, don't force the issue, and play it safe. And I think that if Darlington can do that, if needed, and Langsdorf doesn't put him in bad situations, I think that it's going to be an okay situation. I think that Nebraska just has to be able to control the line of scrimmage, run the football, and whether it's Armstrong, Fife, Darlington, and do we even say Lamar Jackson? I mean, that is like last case.
Give me
scenario,
Lamar,
right?
Baby. Give me the Lamar Wildcat.
I had more confidence when a few years back they had Rex Burkhead.
The Rex Cat.
That made more
sense. I know.
Hey, about 40 seconds here left, Kevin. Going to end on a basketball question. The Husker basketball team's had about four home games you've got to check out. They're going to California this weekend for a tournament, play Dayton on Thursday. What's one thing, one player, one area you've been impressed so far with the Husker men's basketball team?
Ty Webster. I'm so happy that his international success has carried over to the college level. And I'm just happy that Ty, finally a senior, he seems so much more comfortable with this team. I think when there was an Andrew White or Teran Fetaway, he didn't quite know what his role was in terms of the leadership. It's obvious right now. This is Ty Webster's team. He has the big voice. They're going to follow his lead, and so far it's been a good thing.
Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports, at Kevin Suits. Catch him on 1011, obviously, but great coverage today. High school, Nebraska, all that good stuff. Suitsy, give me a score for Friday, about 15 seconds.
Ooh, yeah, on the spot. Let's go Nebraska 20, Iowa 16.
All right, the win, the cover, boom. Kevin Suits says take it 20 to 16. Kevin, thanks so much for a few minutes, man. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys.
Take care. Kevin Suits with us on Hail Varsity Radio. 1011 Sports, well done. He can wear a stocking hat today. I know it's not brutal out, but it's a little chilly. But he's all over. So, yeah, check out 1011. Check out Wilderness Ridge. Now, it's not golf weather anymore, and that's not my fault. But what you can do, holiday season around the corner, maybe you get that person you love or care about a membership to Wilderness Ridge, membership benefits, membership pricing. Chris Thompson, PGA professional, of course, Shuhart, Mr. Mike Shuhart, Director of Instruction. Give Wilderness a ring today, 402-434-5106, wildernessridgegolf.com.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Next hour, 10 minutes away, once Big Ten Live, BTN Live, is done. Rick Pizzo will join us. Big Ten Buffet, Gary Barnett, Colorado, Northwestern, and Buff Radio Network. And we'll get into some playoff thoughts. Playoffs and championships going on. Wahoo, Bishop Newman, and O'Neill. What this looks like is smash mouth, check your teeth after the game type football. Love it. At Memorial Stadium. So the high school championships continue on. Thanks to Kevin Suits. Thanks to Mitch Sherman. And we will get you qualified now. Qualified, we're going to give it to you. 6-month subscription yours right now to HailVarsity.com. 6-month premium online subscription yours right now to HailVarsity.com. Caller 6-466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. What are we giving you with HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience? access to unparalleled coverage of Husker football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, recruiting, and the great stuff the staff does with Hail Varsity. Get your online premium access and get to that premium forum now. Caller 6 right now, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, a six-month online subscription yours to HailVarsity.com. Caller 6 right now, and it's yours for free for 6 months. If you're not caller 6, apologies, but you can log on to get 30 days free when you sign up, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. So there you have it. Caller 6 now, TJ will gently say, sorry, you're too late, if you're not caller 6. He's patient like that. He used to just slam the phone down and say, no soup for you, because he's a Seinfeld nut. Okay, here's a question I have about tonight. USC, what do you do with them? Everyone's on USC's bandwagon. 6 weeks ago, well, Coach Helton's getting the U-Haul ready. Now USC's an amazing three-loss team that's beaten Colorado. How far up the ladder do they go? That's what I want to know. What do you do with USC? They lost to Stanford. Who's ranked? Alabama treated them like a pinata. And I think they lost to Utah, which wasn't awful until they lost to Oregon. So I am sorry, as nice as USC is right now, as well as they're playing, as much as their quarterback's been the difference, they have three losses. Sorry, you're watching. Maybe a Rose Bowl if you win the whole thing. Period. That's where I'm at with USC. That's maybe a bit harsh. Could they beat Michigan right now? Yes. Could they beat Ohio State? No. Could they beat Alabama? They didn't earlier. No reason to think they can now. Although I'll give them credit, they are better. But where's USC land? We'll ask Rick Pizzo. We'll get his take on Nebraska and Iowa. Hour 2, Hail Varsity continues.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hour 2, your chance again this hour as we give away a six-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. 30 minutes away from Gary Barnett, we welcome in Big Ten Buffet, Mr. Rick Pizzo. And I'm sure the Pizzo house will have amazing Thanksgiving grub. And he just got done with BTN Live. Rick Pizzo with us. Rick, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm glad to hear that Coach Barnett is on the way, because I was just giving one of his former schools a lot of love. I think Colorado is a very undervalued school. We'll find out more if the committee agrees with me a little bit later tonight.
No, they are something else. Now, he wasn't so sure that they'd be able to handle the Pirate in Washington State last week. They did. Man, their quarterback is something. Wow. I mean, the guy went for 350 in the air and another 100 and a quarter on the ground, and McIntyre's been great for Colorado. That's weird to say, living in Nebraska my whole life.
Yeah.
But they are. They're Buffs are back. As you know, what? I think they wowed me with, weren't they up like 21-3 on Michigan early in that ball
game?
Yeah,
and remember, Lufau went out in the second half of that game, and I think if he stays in that game, maybe it's a different result. Yeah, I think McIntyre is probably your leader in the clubhouse right now for National Coach of the Year.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's rivalry week and the big showdown, Michigan and Ohio State. And let's start there. We'll get to Nebraska, Iowa. But right now, Rick, what's your temperature heading into this Saturday game with Michigan and Ohio State? I mean, you have quarterback issues with Spate's injury. Michigan's been so good all year defensively, but Ohio State, man, and I'm kind of throwing out last weekend because both teams are looking ahead. I think it was pretty impressive, quite honestly, that Ohio State held on to win against Sparty on the road. Do you think this thing's going to be close? Do you think Ohio State's just playing too well right now? Do you think Michigan digs deep? How do you see the rivalry game here this Saturday?
You know, so much of it, Chris, I think depends on what happens with Michigan's quarterback situation. John O'Korn just did not look good last week. Now, to be fair, here's a guy who hasn't really taken a meaningful snap since he lost the job to Wilton Spate during fall camp. So does he look better next week if he's the guy after a full week of game experience? Probably, but also you're facing a major upgrade in defense going from Indiana, who is an improved defense, but they're nothing like what the Buckeyes will throw at Michigan. So I think until the quarterback situation is resolved, and I should go on record by saying that last week I said that if this is not a broken collarbone for Wilton Spate, and Michigan has not confirmed that it is or isn't, if it's not, I think he plays. We won't know until Saturday. I don't think we'll know until the first snap. But if he's not effective, if he can't be 100%, if John O'Korn is the guy we saw last week, Ohio State feasts because they can turn Michigan into a one-dimensional football team. If, on the other hand, Michigan gets the kind of quarterback play it got through the course of the regular season, be it from Spate or from O'Korn, then this is a closer game. But I think it boils down to that, and I don't think we'll actually have an answer as to who plays or how well they can play until game day arrives on Saturday.
Do you think the Spartans, Michigan State, has another charge in them and can ruin Penn State's season next week? Or this
you know, here's
week?
The thing. Here's the thing, though, about that, TJ, is that Penn State will know by the time that they kick off what they're playing
oh,
for.
Really? Okay.
So the Michigan-Ohio State game is at noon. And if
that's
Michigan
right.
wins that game, then Penn State knows before their 3:30 Eastern kick that they can get to 8 wins in the Big Ten. They can get to 10 wins overall, but they can't go to the championship game. Then I think maybe you see a little bit of a deflation from Penn State, and Michigan State may be able to go in there and win the Land Grand Trophy. But if Penn State sees Ohio State win, and you're at home, and your offense is humming, and you have chemistry, and you're healthy, and wait a second, you know that if you win this game, you head to Indianapolis with a chance to win the Big Ten and maybe sneak into the playoff. I just don't see at that point any chance of Penn State letting it slip away.
Big Ten Buffet, it's Rick Pizzo, Hail Varsity Radio at BT and Rick Pizzo. Rick, let's talk Nebraska, Iowa. As practice is going right now, Tommy Armstrong is suited up, Riker Fife suited up, and then you have Darlington that's also an option, and I think Tommy's going to play, so let me throw that out there. I don't know how Tommy-like he'll be. I don't know what percent he'll be at, but it's not going to be 100, obviously. What do you know about Iowa? What can you tell me about Iowa? Because they've been not a great team at home, except for the Michigan win, which is pretty important, pretty impressive. But what's Nebraska walking into Friday?
Well, I think they're walking into a team that's playing by far, and it's not even close, its best football of the year. I was on the sidelines for our broadcast of Iowa-Illinois, and I know I say this with a grain of salt because this Illinois offense is not exactly world beater. But Iowa's defense right now, especially up front on the defensive line and at the linebacker, I don't think there's anybody in the country who's a better tackler than Josie Jewell. I don't think there's anybody in the country who covers receivers better than Desmond King. I'm truly not sure what happened to Iowa in the beginning of the year. I don't know if they just started believing and started reading too much press. I'm not sure if the offensive and defensive lines were more banged up than we thought they were, but they have been dominant. Jaleel Johnson on the defensive line has just been a monster the last couple of weeks. And if Nebraska can't put forward a quarterback in Tommy Armstrong, who is a dual threat guy to keep that Iowa defense honest, I think it could be a long day. I think that Iowa right now is a completely different team than we saw in October, and it's just bad timing for the Huskers.
How healthy or banged up is Beathard right now? And the sports hernia thing, I think, is followed him negatively all along. I think it may have been dinged or tweaked at some point, likely the North Dakota State showdown, because he's different since that ball game. He's not been as prolific as a season ago, and I think it's more so due to injury, and his line hasn't helped him either. But is he going to have a bounce-back game? How effective do you think he needs to be Saturday on Friday against Nebraska's defense?
You know what, Chris, I think the last part of your question was the best one. How effective does he need to be? Because I don't think he needs to be all that great. they have found something in their run game over the last 3 weeks, and it's this wonderful combination. 2 weeks ago, it was Akram Wadley against Michigan. Last week with Illinois, it was LaShawn Daniels. And when running backs start to have success, it's because of the offensive line. But when the offensive line looks at the numbers and sees what Wadley did against Michigan, sees what Daniels did against Illinois, they get a little bit of a boost. And so they're playing their best football, and so it's this really good snowball effect for an offense, and I don't see that changing. They're not going to move the ball down the field 20 yards at a clip. That's not what they do. They're going to possess it. They're going to ask Beathard not to make mistakes. He's a guy that's played through pain his entire career. I don't think it's going to be that much of a factor. It is certainly not going to be nearly as big a factor as Nebraska's quarterback situation will be.
Special teams have been pretty absent for Nebraska in the kick game and the kick return game. And they brought it once this year, and it was against Oregon. That's one thing that sticks out to me as a way to get maybe the advantage here against Iowa and for Nebraska to get a win here. Let's talk Minnesota and Wisconsin. Say Nebraska wins. They need help. And what do you think of Minnesota right now? Big, impressive win against Northwestern. That said, Wisconsin and Camp Randall is a whole different story. What do you see with that one?
It is a whole different story, and I think it's a whole different outlook, because to me, with what Minnesota's offense is doing right now and has done this entire season, I think Wisconsin gets the double digits, the game is over. I just don't think that this Minnesota defense can stretch, or offense, I'm sorry, can stretch Wisconsin's defense at all. Leidner has had a very disappointing senior season. There are no major downfield threats. They don't have multiple receivers who can get open on third down. They win by doing what Wisconsin does, but Wisconsin does it better, and Wisconsin has a few more options. So I take nothing away from what Tracy Clays has done. They've won a lot of big games this year. They're doing exactly what they're doing and beating the teams that they're supposed to beat and winning more games than people thought they would win. But I don't think they are ready to compete with the elite of this conference, and Wisconsin, in my mind, is clearly an elite team.
Rick, let's talk a couple of seconds here before we let you go on the selection committee tonight. Do you think we see any surprises? Anyone move up drastically? And by drastically, I'm talking, does USC get a major bump?
Yeah, that's the team that I was going to go to. How high do you move three-loss USC? Here's the problem for USC is that, can you move a three-loss USC team ahead of an Oklahoma team that just doubled up a top 15 opponent in West Virginia? Can you move a USC team with three losses ahead of a Colorado team that just knocked off a really good top 25 Washington State team? Can you move a three-loss USC team above a Penn State team that just shut out an opponent in a sleet storm when they beat Rutgers 39-0. So I think that USC is playing probably right now as well as anybody in the country outside of Alabama. I just don't think there's a lot of upward mobility this week. Now, that's not to say that there's not upward mobility next week. What I'm looking at this week, Chris, is to see what happens with Oklahoma and Colorado in comparison to Penn State. The AP was willing to move Oklahoma ahead of Penn State, even though Oklahoma's resume, in my mind, is not even close to Penn State's or Wisconsin. I'll be fascinated to see if the committee moves either Colorado and or Oklahoma ahead of Penn State tonight.
Well, and here's the thing with Colorado and Oklahoma. I mean, SC beat Colorado head-to-head, but you have more impressive showings body of work-wise, you could argue, by Colorado. At least their losses have been more impressive to this point. Everything's fluid. When it comes to a conference champ, i.e. Oklahoma versus a two-loss Big Ten team, are you still kind of in wait-and-see mode if say, Wisconsin wins the Big Ten, and then there's Ohio State, who doesn't get to play in the Big Ten championship but is still just a one-loss team. You have the head-to-head with Oklahoma, obviously, over Ohio State. But can any other squads at this point, as we get close to the end of the regular season, trump what Ohio State's done?
Boy, it'd be really tough. I mean, if they beat Michigan and don't go to the Big Ten championship game because Penn State beats Michigan mm-hmm. State, they're going to be sitting in an enviable position. But here's the problem, though, Chris, is you bring up a couple of different items. One is what you do with Oklahoma or Oklahoma State as a mm-hmm. two-loss Big 12 champ. I just don't think that you can compare them on equal footing to a team that even plays in its conference championship game because they have an extra game, they have an extra data point. It's not Oklahoma's fault, it's not Oklahoma State's fault, but they can't be given a benefit just because they don't have a conference championship game like the other four Power Five conferences do. The trouble comes if you have to choose between a champion from a league like the Big Ten, which has been given the most respect by the committee and by the voters all year long, and I'm talking about Penn State. What if Penn State wins the Big Ten? How do you leave Penn State out of the mix when they are the conference champ of the strongest conference all year long, and they beat head-to-head an Ohio State team that doesn't get to play in its conference championship game, and they have a top 20 strength of schedule? I think the committee would have a ton of work to do, and I'm not sure that they would be able to come up with the right answer, because I'm not sure that the right answer would actually exist in that scenario.
It's such a mess because you can't leave out Penn State for winning the best league deemed by the committee, and you can't take Oklahoma as a conference champion, theoretically, in my book, over a team that beat them head-to-head in their place.
And don't forget that you still have Washington and Clemson out there, potential one-loss conference champs that are right now ranked inside that top five. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, Alabama, in my mind, gets in even if they were to lose to either Auburn or get upset by Florida in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, Bama's, you know, they're in. Clemson, we'll see. I mean, that would be awful if they lose to a four-loss Virginia Tech team. Washington's got a tough close.
They do.
They have
no
a
doubt.
Really tough close because they'll get who is it going to be?
They're going to get either Colorado or USC.
That's
if Colorado
right.
beats Utah
yeah.
this week, they play Colorado. If Colorado loses, USC's done their Pac-12 schedule. They play Notre Dame. So they're going to get a top 10, at worst a top 12 opponent. And Washington, of course, has Washington State this weekend on the road.
Yeah. So if Washington gets there, then I can kind of be talked into considering them with just one loss. If they avenge the loss to SC,
yes.
I can see that. Rick, you're awesome, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for everything. We'll catch up again, my friend.
Guys, the pleasure, as always, is mine. Enjoy the turkey. Feel free to overeat. On that one day, it's okay.
I will do it, my man.
Bye, man.
Take care. See you. Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff from him. I thought it was going to be either SC or Colorado. I got my wires crossed there with who are they playing, because that's the other thing. It could be Colorado-Washington State Part 2 if upsets go a little nuts on Friday and Saturday. Colorado should beat Utah. I mean, they should be in. Interesting. Well, you know what I'm going to do Thursday? I'm going to eat tons of turkey. Wifey will be working. And I'm going to crack open a Zipline. Zipline Brewing in Lincoln. Zipline Brewing for you across Nebraska. And it'll go great with the turkey. And it always goes awesome with football. You can see Marcus and his friend Zipline Brewing. Two locations for you. West O in Lincoln. And the Beer Hall is there. 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln and Southeast Lincoln. It's a modern German beer hall, 24 taps, neighborhood bar, and community tables. And it's the accessory. It's quite honestly part of the meal you need with Thanksgiving. Find a Zipline you like today. Gold medal winning Copper Alt, nationally recognized IPA, 40 different beers. They have a beer for your taste. And they've been just doing tremendous work in Nebraska, record sales the last 4 years. And they started in Lincoln. It's brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all of Nebraska. If you're coming into town, be sure to get some Zipline. And if you're outside of Lincoln, don't forget that the Zipline is available on draft in six packs across the state at your local grocery store or bottle shop. And be sure to come by and see your friends at Zipline Brewing Company today. In their two tap rooms, 56th and Pine Lake, and at West O with Zipline.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Welcome in the coach, Colorado Northwestern, Sports USA, Buff Radio Network, avid golfer, and I'm sure he's going to smoke a turkey, something perfect for Thursday. Gary Barnett with us. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How you doing, man?
Doing awesome. I love this week and excited for football on Friday. Nebraska wrapping up their practice. We'll know in about 15, 20 minutes how Tommy Armstrong fared because he suited up to practice, as did Riker Fife, who had surgery Sunday morning on that right wrist. So the quarterback question is where I want to start, Coach, before we get to playoff talk and the Buffs rolling the Pirate. I mean, I got to get your thoughts here. What do you do at what's the worst situation you ever faced at quarterback when it came to injuries and the end of the year? How do you treat it? How do you game plan it?
You know, I'll tell you what, Chris. I was never in a really bad situation. We always had two or three guys that were available. Mm-hmm. I never had to. Back when I was with Coach McCartney, mm-hmm. we were running the wishbone. I think we had to take one of our old receivers, former quarterbacks that turned to receiver. And had to play him as a third-string quarterback, as a backup. I think it was in a bowl game, as a matter of fact. Mm. We didn't play him, but we had to prepare him for it.
Okay.
It's tough. And the hamstring for Armstrong is, you know, that's a tough deal. That, to be able to go out and run your offense and be, you know, have the hamstring hurt you the way it does. That's really a tough situation. But I was never in that position, I don't think.
What do you think of Iowa? You've kind of followed him, seen him from afar, and I know you coached against him as kind of a, you know, you made it one of your rivalry games. What do you think of their team this year? Because they seem like they're playing their best ball right now.
Well, I think they are, too. And Chris, there was three places that I just didn't like playing in the Big Ten. One was Ohio State. The other one was Iowa, and the third one was Wisconsin. Everywhere else I was okay with, but those three were the toughest places to play, and I think Iowa probably was second to Ohio State mm-hmm. for me. So it is a tough environment. They're playing great defense, and, you know, this is a tough game. But, you know, Northwestern goes in. Now, Northwestern has them red-lettered every year, so they went in there and beat them, and then they end up turning around and beating Michigan. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a tough game. Their defense is playing really well. I that's the strength of their team, I believe.
What was your reaction to the pink locker room?
Well, I'll tell you what we did. We beat them. We beat them in 95 at home. It's the first time that we'd beaten them. Then in 96, we were on the road. So I painted my locker room pink. And the kids walked in on Monday morning to the locker room, and they go, "What the?" And we just painted the whole locker room pink. And I just told them, I said, "You know, I want you to feel at home." And so when we pull up to Kinnick Stadium, you're just going to go into your locker room. That's what it's going to feel like because you've had it pink all week. And then we blew them out. We had a great game, but that's what I did. Now, in the years prior to that, when we played over there, we called everybody calls around all week wanting to talk to people to see what they did. And everybody puts the posters up, and everybody puts the butcher paper up, and, you know, like Michigan did and all that sort of stuff. But you know what? Lipstick on a pig is still a pig. And so we just decided, heck with it. We can always paint our locker room back. It's no big deal. What's it cost you? You know, a couple thousand dollars. But it was worth it to paint our locker room and just having the kids. And they just hated being in the pink locker room all week. But when they got there, they were used to it. So that was my solution.
I like it. The call to painters. Gary Barnett with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Let's talk USC and the selection committee tonight. Do you think SC lands in front of Oklahoma, gets in front of Colorado, gets in front of Penn State? How high do they jump?
Boy, you know, I don't have a clue about that. You know, I think that, you know, it's nothing new beating U.S. or beating UCLA.
Right.
So I don't know that they're going to get that many points for beating UCLA. Everybody else beat them this year, too. I mean, that was, what, their seventh loss of the year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll move up or not with this thing. You have three losses. there isn't a three-loss team that's going to get in. I don't care how good you are.
Sure.
You can't justify it. There's going to be too many one-loss and maybe a couple two-loss teams that don't get in. So I don't see any way they get in there.
Buffs, man, what a ball game. That thing, I was at Junior's basketball game, and it's 24-21 and then 28-24 and then no Wi-Fi. So I checked the score, and it's 38-24, and I'm like, that was pretty impressive because Washington State plays really good defense, and their offense was nuts. And, man, Lofos, give me the quarterback's pronunciation. I just about butchered.
Luke Falk.
No, I know that. I'm talking Colorado.
Seppo Lufau.
That guy went off. I mean, didn't he have like 400 yards total offense?
Chris, he's just an incredible competitor. He's not a great football player, but he is a great competitor.
Okay.
If you're choosing up, doing a pickup game in any sport, you take him first because he will win. He won't hit the most home runs. He won't throw the most completions. He's going to win, though, and that's the kind of kid he is. And that whole team is sort of like that. You know, I was doing an earlier show with Salt Lake City and mm-hmm. Utah Station, and they said, well, who's the best player? And I went, well, you know what? I don't even know. They're all pretty good, but there's nobody that's a great player on that team. And they play the way a coach wants his team to play. Mm-hmm. I watched that game, and I was so proud of those guys. And the way they lost their starting safety on a targeting call, and the kid that comes in makes three third down stops and a fourth down stop, breaks up a pass. They lost their best receiver out. They lost another corner. They lost starting outside linebacker. And this whoever came in, and nobody knew who they were, you know, no-name guys, and they just kept playing and playing and playing and just finally got the Pirate to go into submission. And but that Falk is a really good player. He can throw the football, I can tell you that.
Gary, with the Colorado's final regular season game this coming week, did you see this coming at all from Colorado this season? I mean, they've more than doubled their win total.
Yeah, I saw six with a chance of eight. I didn't see 9, 10, and a Pac-12 championship game. Yeah, I really had to stretch it to see that happening. But you know, if you get hot and you got a bunch of seniors and you stay healthy, then you got a chance. Who knows? And there were only a couple returning quarterbacks in the league, Falk being one of them, mm-hmm. and Rosen being another, and he got hurt and missed the Colorado game and most of the season, really half the season. So I saw them having six wins if they played their butts off. And then if you get lucky, there was another couple in there. I didn't see the Oregon win, and I didn't see the Stanford win. Those were the two wins I didn't see coming. And so they've just exceeded everybody's expectations, and nobody really knows what to do. I mean, they're going, wow. What's going on here? Should we go to the game? I don't know. So it's pretty interesting what's going on in Boulder.
Gary Barnett with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, we're going to do some rapid fire, about 2 minutes here. Some games this Friday and Saturday. Michigan, Ohio State. What do you think?
Ohio State.
Okay.
I don't even think there's a. Yeah, Ohio State. Of course, I said what I say. Iowa and Michigan have said Michigan real fast.
Well, so you said move on, but yeah.
Yeah, move on, yeah. No, Ohio State.
Washington State, Washington.
Boy, I don't know what to tell you there. Washington is favored by 5, I think, and yeah. I think Washington is a better football team.
Okay. Florida State.
Gosh. I had Florida, and they were just awful against Arkansas, and then they turned around and beat LSU. I think Florida State.
Okay, what about Clemson, South Carolina?
Clemson.
Auburn, Bama.
Bama.
Big?
Big enough. No, that's never big, though. That one's never big. Okay. But no, I don't. The spread's too many, I think. It's 17.5. I don't like that spread, but Alabama wins.
Okay. Nebraska, Iowa.
Ooh. You really on your radio show? You want me to do this?
Hey, my man, you kind of know Nebraska the day after Thanksgiving. I mean,
I know. Well, here's what I'm going to say. If Armstrong plays, I'll go with Nebraska. If he doesn't, I'm going with Iowa.
So you're going Nebraska. I think Tom, you'll play.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going Nebraska.
Okay, there we go. We got it. And lastly, about 60 seconds here. Are you smoking a turkey?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let my daughter-in-law bake a turkey, and I'm going to do tenderloin, two big tenderloins. Ooh. So we're going to have everything. We're going to be so fat and full after Thanksgiving. It's going to be ridiculous.
Tenderloin's a great call. It's an absolute. I'm thinking of ribs Friday, but I may not be able to move after Thursday. So.
Oh, that's a lot, man.
Yeah, no,
to do that soon. Well, take a week off.
I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to take a week off. Gary Barnett, coach. Great to run you down. We'll catch up again soon. And thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, guys. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Take care, coach.
Bye-bye.
Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity. Okay, so he's going to do tenderloin. That's an awesome call. I've never done the turducken, though. It's chicken, duck, and turkey. All kind of piled onto one.
Done duck before.
I've never had duck, ever.
My aunt, she's an amazing cook, and we're going there Thursday.
Okay. Ooh. All right.
She can make some duck.
Carson and Papa are rolling up to Stoicich, House of Sausage. They do smoked turkey breast that tastes like ham. It's so good. Mm. So Stoicich is going to be a high five candidate. That'll be outstanding. And, I mean, there's a great understanding. I'll bring the beer, and Papa Al will have his wine, so we tolerate each other. And by the third quarter of the Lions game, everyone's on good terms. Mm-hmm. So, awesome. Great stuff from Gary Barnett. He says a Nebraska win if Tommy plays. We'll have a practice report here in about 10 minutes, maybe sooner, as we continue on. Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Good stuff from Gary Barnett. You miss any part of Hail Varsity, can log on hailvarsity.com. Be a premium subscriber. Check out the show. Can do so on hailvarsity.com or iTunes. A good insight from Gary Barnett. Specifically, how you alleviate the problem of dealing with the pink locker room. You paint your own locker room pink for a week. It's only money. Just paint it pink. But going from purple to pink, I guess, is... he can do it. I don't know. Do you buy that psychological mellowing effect? As he said, it's still a pig when you put lipstick on it.
You might as well give it a try, right? Seemed to work out for him.
Well, that's the thing. Nebraska has no problems getting used to the pink locker room. They have not lost to Iowa, per Brian Rosenthal, since 1981. That was to start the year. And it was 10-7. Nebraska was super highly ranked, and Iowa...
shootout.
Yeah, 10-7. Well, I think they knocked Turner Gill out that game.
Oh.
And there was not a lot of love between Hayden and Osborne there. Thing about Hayden Fry, and I don't know, man. There's people that swear by him, and I know he took Iowa to heights they'd not seen before. But Fry kind of got me going where he had these sunglasses. He had the same type of sunglasses as my Uncle Bill, who was a sheriff. So he had the sheriff look going. But Fry had this porn stash. I mean, he had the stash going. I think he came from North Texas. I mean, I haven't done the life and times of Hayden Fry, but I think that's where he came from. And you can't argue his coaching tree. Good Lord. Stoops, Bill Snyder, Barry Alvarez, Ferentz. And go down the list. I'm missing 1,000 other people that have been good as head coaches or coordinators. So we'll see. But we're waiting on practice to get done. But Tommy Armstrong, Riker 5 suiting up. Aaron Sorensen per Twitter with Hail Varsity wants to scare Iowa fans and let them know that Nate Gary is also lining up under center and punting. Just to continue the, I got to prepare for everything. Watch out. Now, I've been suggested by Dan that the true key to a happy Thanksgiving is to do a water-only fast on Wednesday. Just drink water only. Okay. And he says, College Football Matrix suggested that.
I've never heard of anybody suggesting that.
I don't know. Because here's the thing. You're in this window here. It's not sports window, but it's in food window.
Yeah.
Where once we get to 30 or 32, your metabolism dies.
Mm-hmm.
And you go you grow breasts in a beer gut. Some.
Mm-hmm.
Me. Because your metabolism's gone. And even if you try and exercise, it does you no good. But you're in this window of just eating, eating, eating.
Mm-hmm.
Then eating more. Then it's, you know, the holiday season, Christmas time, and you're going to pig out again.
Now, in the past, I think not this season, we're just having one Thanksgiving, but in the past, like, sometimes it would go for two
you
or three days.
You have to have two or three.
You go to multiple parties.
Right.
So I wonder if you would still suggest the fasting Wednesday.
Well, I just think the water will hopefully clear you out, clean you out.
Yeah.
And maybe keep you from being hungry, portion-wise. I'm going to try and... Well, what am I kidding? Me and Carb are going to be friends on Thursday. Be friends with Rick and your friends at Sauter-Hayman. How about 1 carat diamonds? How about it being affordable? And how about the holiday season around the corner? Go find that select 1 carat diamond for your sweetie and get to Sauter-Hayman today. $100 a month and select 1 carat diamonds available for you for a limited time with approved credit. Can see stores for details and locations for you with Sauter-Hayman. 12th and O downtown in Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west with your friends at Sauter-Hayman in Grand Island. Sauter-Hayman.com, yourbestring.com. A 1 carat diamond, perfect for her this holiday season, perfect for you. $100 a month. Okay, we've talked a lot about Nebraska and Iowa. My concerns that Iowa defense, it's been voiced by others. Offensively here, you need to prepare yourself for a low-scoring game. Nebraska, no stranger to that. When you look at the points scored, I mean, let's just rattle off what they put up offensively in the Big Ten. 31 against the Illini, 24 against Northwestern, 27 and 27 Indiana Purdue, 17 in overtime included against Wisconsin, 3 against Ohio State, 24 in the win, 28 in the win. So you're averaging right at about 24 to 27 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you're allowing 13. Can you keep Iowa to 2 touchdowns? I think you can.
I think you can.
I think you can because their offense isn't that great and that explosive. And it's going to be – when Iowa has scored, they'll have scored off of a big play. They're not going to go 15 plays, 80 yards, 7 minutes on the clock. They'll do it, but to get it pulled off, it's going to be a 30-yard run to get them over the hump and in the end zone. You just got to stay disciplined. That's kind of my take. That's simplistic. But it's so true in this game. And Iowa's been a different team the last couple of years with Beathard taking care of the football, being cautious with the football. Now, their offensive line's not as great. That's the other part of this, too, to think about if you're a Nebraska fan and can you win a low-scoring game. Iowa on offense, Bodiger is their left guard. Dude's very, very iffy. Crosston, is their right tackle. Cole Crosston, he's their right tackle, and he is doubtful. So the left guard and the right tackle, likely not going to go. Or if they do go, that's kind of a Christmas miracle on Thanksgiving. George Kittle should be back, but he's been dinged. Kittle's kind of been the security blanket because they've got no one else to throw to. Aside from the running backs, but this is going to be about shutting down Akram Wadley in the run game and in the reception game. I mean, he has 30 catches. And then Daniels. Don't let Daniels get rolling downhill on you. Because they'll do that thunder and lightning thing to you. And you know Kevin Maurice will be ready. You know Mick and Carlos will be ready. And the way Bando and Gary have been playing, it's all good. What's going to turn this game is going to be awful field position that you give them through the kicking game or not being able to generate some yards to start off a driving good. It's going to be special teams. It's going to be turnovers. And it's going to be just taking care of the football. That's so boring. But that's your formula. Defense, special teams, run game, and don't screw it up at quarterback. Make a play, but don't force a play. We'll have a thought or two on practice. Caller 6 right now at Hail Varsity Premium Online Subscription, 6 months yours. Caller 6 now, the HailVarsity.com online premium subscription, a 6-month subscription yours. Caller 6 now, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay.
Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Good stuff today. Thanks to Gary Barnett. He thinks Nebraska, if Tommy's going, will get the Iowa win. Rick Pizzo, talk playoff with us. Mitch Sherman, Kevin Suits. Good work by them, as always. Tomorrow on the program, we will further discuss. I said disgust. Discuss. I just got a text from the wife. Where are you taking me to dinner? So I was thinking disgust, but we discussed the college football playoff. And Brad Edwards will be with us tomorrow. We'll do the Friday forecast on Wednesday. Klausburn is back. He was in a lineup, is what he told me. So he was unable last week. So that'll be good. Excited about that. Mark Morehouse will join us. The Talk Hawkeyes, and Mark Morehouse, very, very talented writer with the Des Moines Register, and excited to get him run down tomorrow. So, yeah, we'll get it going. I'm not sure if Jay Bird's in or not. If so, TJ Henning is back to full health, right? Are you 100% yet?
No.
No?
I thought it was like over the hill Sunday, but it's kind of come back just a little bit this Monday, Tuesday, so.
I think I just blasted our poor friend and said the wrong paper. Cedar Rapids Gazette. So, Mark, don't say, I'm not coming on. Forgive me, Iowa fan. Okay, I wanted to tell you to get out there and get the latest issue of Hail Varsity Magazine. Alonzo Moore has been a friend of the show. But a great interview with Mike Babcock. He sat down with Alonzo, and they just kind of talked life. And a great story you need to read on Hail Varsity on Alonzo Moore from Mike Babcock. Tremendous stuff. Any practice news or notes, TJ?
Yeah, we got this from Ryan Rosenthal, who covers the Huskers for
Huskers,
now, I guess you would say. Armstrong, Fife, Darlington all took QB snaps Tuesday. Danny Langsdorf said it's still day-to-day with no decision likely till Friday.
That is code for keep guessing, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. NFL last night. Got a good dude in the building, Sparky. He's a huge Raider fan, been a Raider fan forever. And he had the biggest grin on his face. Like, yeah, how about them Texans?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did they get by the officials. He's right. Do you ever wonder? It's gotten worse. It has gotten worse, and it's more cover-up. Well, my buddy really screwed that call. I can't call him out and make him be accountable, so we're going to just kind of sweep this under the rug. And it's getting to a boiling and breaking point in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so sorry to go age, card here, but it's time for some new officials, maybe some younger officials. Not that guys older can't get it done, because most of you obviously can. But the guys they got now, guy was out of position, he guessed wrong, and then they didn't correct it. Then I'm all good, because I was playing the Houston wideout in fantasy. So I liked that crew last night, but overall, it's been a mess. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.